reflect from the mountain so all souls can see it. Then I stand on the ocean until I start sinking.
On WSLR LPFM 96.5 in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton, this is Jen Shaw with your WSLR news headlines for Thursday, December 11th. For the first time in 28 years, a Democrat and someone not of Hispanic descent was elected mayor of the city of Miami. Eileen Higgins is also the first woman ever to head the city. Higgins, who calls herself La Gringa, was elected by a landslide. She beat Emilio Gonzalez, a Republican endorsed by Trump, by 19 points. In her acceptance speech, Higgins said she wants a city that, quote, belongs to everyone, where seniors can stay, young people can build a future, and immigrants feel welcomed and respected. The mayoral race was technically nonpartisan, but the candidates leaned into party affiliation during their campaigns. Meanwhile, the Miami New Times reported that the net worth of outgoing mayor Francis Suarez ballooned to $5 million while he served as mayor. Saying they were impractical, Sarasota and Manatee County school districts have denied the recent requests of Schools of Hope charter operators seeking space inside public campuses. Both districts denied the November 11th requests made by Mater Academy and Somerset Academy to co-locate inside four schools. Emma E. Booker Elementary and Brookside Middle in Sarasota and the Sarah Scott Harley Center and Lincoln Memorial Middle in Manatee. The requests were among nearly 700 filed statewide since last month by charter operators under the state's newly expanded Schools of Hope law. Suncoast Searchlight first reported the news after obtaining letters of denial through public records. The denials could be reversed if either party appeals and seeks the appointment of a special magistrate. On Wednesday of next week, Sarasota city planners will discuss a developer's proposal to build a 10-story mixed-use building on Ringling Boulevard in downtown Sarasota. The project proposes a unified development of two parcels on the corner of Ringling and Osprey. Using a city incentive program, the developer wants to build taller than current zoning allows, thanks to two attainable apartments in the building. This has been Jen Shaw with your WSLR news headlines for Thursday, December 11th.
Welcome to The Detail. I am your host, Kathy Antunes, and you are listening to The Detail on WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton, Florida. Programming at WSLR is supported by listeners like you and by Ringling College Galleries and Exhibitions. Ringling College's 2025-26 exhibition season features art from Ringling students, alumni, faculty, and nationally recognized artists from a wide range of mediums and from diverse backgrounds. More information is available at ringlingcollege.gallery. And the views and opinions expressed by hosts, guests, and callers on WSLR programs are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of WSLR, its staff, or volunteers. John O'Miller is in the house.
Yes. Hey, John. Great to be back.
I'm sorry. I'm a little off today. A lot of people may know my mom passed away, so I really appreciate being with a friend today who knows so much about this subject. John O., you have taught at New College.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about the New College Master Plan.
Right.
John O'Miller is a well-known, well-respected environmental activist. You are an author. You are an expert on cabbage palms.
That's true.
The unsung virtues of the cabbage palm, red palm, and things we just didn't know about these trees. But today we're going to be talking about a very important meeting coming up at New College. And This is going to be December 17th at the 2 p.m. It's only a one-hour meeting. I don't even know how that's possible. But it's a public hearing about the new college master plan. And a lot of people over these past two, 3 years where Richard Corcoran has taken over the administration of New College. Last week I had Ben Brown on. We talked about he's concerned about the master plan, but just the history of everything. A lot of people, not surprisingly, in Sarasota are concerned about what's going to happen to the land because this is waterfront property. It is a highly prized location, and they're going to be discussing this, the Board of Trustees, on the 17th. So, Jono, you have prepared an amazing list that we won't get to, but why don't you just start us out?
Well, the first thing, I think we learned yesterday that there will be two meetings of the Board of Trustees. So the first goes from 2 o'clock till 3 o'clock on the 17th, and that's to take public testimony. Then they're going to reconvene at 3, and that's when the Board of Trustees will actually discuss and vote on the master plan, but they have a bunch of other agenda items as well. So I forget the total, but there's hundreds of pages that have been released for this meeting at less than 10 days before the meeting. So it's basically impossible to do a credible job of reviewing all the material. And we're not sure why they do this, but they could have been sequentially releasing documents as they became available and sent them to the trustees. But instead, it's just one
it's
big
a data dump.
And so that's a problem.
It is a problem. You're very well versed. And, I remember with the Sarasota 2050 plan, when they were revising that in 2013, 2014, you were very well versed on what good process looks like for revising any kind of land use code, right?
Yeah.
Or, a comprehensive plan in the case of the county. So there's this really large list of issues that you've compiled. But I want to start with things. I want to kind of start off where I left off with Ben Brown last week, in that we've already seen process just kicked to the curb because the Uplands Preserve, it was a nature preserve, was destroyed by the Corcoran administration, and also an architectural feature. Can you tell us about that?
Right. So the Uplands neighborhood is particularly beset because they're basically surrounded on three sides. They have the college immediately to the south, and then they have the Uplands portion of the college to the west. And now that the college has received 9 acres north of the Crosley Museum, you could argue that they have New College to the north as well. What happened is President Corcoran decided that he wanted to change the Uplands. And it's very clear in both the campus landscape master plan and master plan that was supposed to be, all those trees were supposed to be protected. Now, what should have happened is he should have gotten this idea and he should have gone to the trustees with an amendment to say, well, we need to change the master plan and here's why.
Yeah.
And he basically, as far as we can tell, controls the trustees, and they would have said, oh, that's a great idea. And then he could have gone ahead and done it. But at least there would have been a public hearing and some airing, some process.
Yeah, you'd think it would have been rubber stamped. But
right.
There would have been a process.
That's right.
And there at least could have been some press and there could have been some public input.
Right. So in addition to clearing hundreds of trees, removing hundreds of trees, some of them were transplanted, but the majority are gone that were supposed to remain. So there was a wall called the Edith Ringling Wall, and it was parallel to the Uplands Boulevard. So Uplands Boulevard is a public road that's parallel to the bay shoreline. And the land between Uplands Boulevard and the bay, it belongs to New College and USF. And so there was this wall that Edith Ringling had built. So it was painted, the Ringlings had that sort of bubblegum pink color that was used. Mm-hmm. So the first thing they did is they painted the wall white, and I didn't know what that was in aid of. And then after, you know, a year or whatever later, they just came and took down the entire wall.
So Edith Ringling was the spouse of Charles Ringling, Charles Edward Ringling, the other Ringling brother in Ringling Brothers, right?
Right,
you've got John and Mabel, and you've got Edith and Charles. So this wall actually had a historic designation. It was an Art Deco. It was an architectural feature of the land that had historic significance.
Right. And people can argue about the extent to which it should or was covered by the National Register Historic District. But that notwithstanding, and it's one thing to remove a wall because there's a need to remove it through a process. But to just, you know, one day show up with heavy equipment and take it out, that's another thing. There was also a pump house over by the Cook Hall that was Ringling era, and that was just removed. I mean, it had a bad roof.
Yeah.
But, again, there was no public process for removing that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. The roof of what?
The pump house.
Oh, the pump house.
It was a small little structure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and the thing about it is, you know, this is a significant site in terms of the history of Florida. The Ringling story is significant in terms of Sarasota. And why would you just go? Because these trees were also planted by the Ringlings. Some of those trees were legacy trees.
Right. Well,
that's
a lot
what
of them,
they're reporting.
A lot of them weren't planted by the Ringlings. They predated the Ringlings. So what I'd like to say is that the Ringlings at the time were one of the most renowned and wealthy families. They could have cut every tree down on their properties and put in whatever exotic vegetation from anywhere in the world. They knew the Edison and Firestone and all these plant explorers. They could have had all this exotic stuff. They chose to leave these trees as part of their landscape. That's what they preferred. And so it's really part of the Ringling heritage that was lost when these trees were taken out.
Yeah. So I think we're in a time where we're coming to understand that there used to be a kind of a social contract. It's referred to as norms. You know, we're seeing it in federal government, but it's true in local government, too.
Right.
There were just certain norms that people respected and, frankly, just didn't have the audacity to disrupt something that had historic significance, which actually also creates value.
Right.
Because people will come to learn and to get a sense of time and place. Historic structures increase value in terms of tourism and education. So we know it's already been demonstrated that there's no respect, right, for a public process and perhaps a total lack of understanding of the value of these sites, because I believe a volleyball court was put in.
Well, two things are put in.
There's
a beach volleyball court that's a little south of the area we've been talking about, but that took out lots of trees. Mm-hmm. And then they put in this event field. Now, they're using the event field for intercollegiate competitive soccer games. Mm. And in 2005, USF and New College signed a memorandum of agreement and said that that property, the uplands, would only be used for passive recreation. So intercollegiate sports.
Walking your dog, for a walk.
Right.
Not having a soccer.
Sunbathing. If you want to throw somebody a frisbee, I don't think anyone would freak out. But creating a field for intercollegiate sports is not passive recreation. It's an active competitive recreation. And so they really shouldn't be doing that there.
Yeah.
And the new plan says, well, we're only going to do it for a few more years, and then we'll have facilities elsewhere and blah, blah, blah. But they shouldn't be doing it at all, and they shouldn't have cleared the tree. If there had been a process, perhaps that memorandum agreement would have come to light, and they might have been forced to respect it.
Yeah, so, you know, these agreements are not being respected. The process isn't being respected. Tell me about, you've got things listed in terms of the master plan issues, and you start off with front-end problems. Why don't we start there? Like, what are the major things? If you're somebody listening to this and you care about New College, this meeting is at 2 p.m.
Right.
at the Sudikoff Conference Center.
Right.
That's when the public can weigh in. And What are the major issues, as you see it, that the public should be concerned about here?
Well, I think it comes down to two basic types. One is process issues that we've been talking about, that mm-hmm. this has been handled poorly and hasn't. You know, what's interesting is when the plan went out, there's a legal requirement that it go to the local municipality, Sarasota County, Manatee County, and the city of Sarasota. They show the college has responded to a lot of the comments made by those entities, but there are probably 80 other entities that have made comments, individuals, alums, students, faculty, I don't know who all. There's not much evidence that anything other people have said has had much mm-hmm. impact on it. So procedurally, there are issues. But then there are just issues with the plan. When you look at it, if the planning team said, we simply didn't know that the Board of Governors, which the Board of Governors would be the equivalent of the Board of Regents in other states, if the planning team said, we simply did not know that the Board of Governors had separate regulations governing campus master plans, I would believe them, because there's some really basic things that they were supposed to do in this plan. It's a 209-page document, and they just didn't. They just didn't get done. There's requirements that certain maps appear, and those maps don't exist.
You know, in some of the land use issues that I've paid close attention to, I've found that the lack of those maps or a lack of baseline, like really simple things, you have to be able to compare one thing to another. You have to be able to see the change that you're talking about. So by omitting or just skipping over certain steps, the Board of Trustees can have a completely mangled notion of what they're really doing because they just don't have the data. The Board of Governors is the group that oversees all of the colleges and universities in the state of Florida. So this administration is just thumbing their nose at their supervisors and the community comments, because they're not commenting or responding. I think they might be using that just to kind of know where the landmines might be, mm-hmm. but not actually acknowledge or honor that there's some legitimate criticism.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the Board of Governors points out some of these transgressions.
Do they have any role in approving the master plan?
Well, that's a good question. I expect they have a say in it. I don't know if it has to be affirmed by them. Mm. But you know, Kathy, from comprehensive planning, you have an EAR, an evaluation and appraisal report, and those are supposed to be done at the beginning of the process. You're supposed to go back and look at your existing plan, talk about what worked, what didn't work, where you want to head. Mm-hmm. And I wrote to the college and said, where is the EAR? Because the last EAR was from 2013. And they wrote back on November, whenever the heck it was, they wrote back and said, no responsive documents exist. So apparently there's no EAR that's supposed to be done at the very beginning of this process. When I was working at the college and it was time to do a new master plan, we had a competitive process. We'd put out a RFP, and we would have teams send in these big, thick binders, and then we'd fly them in, and they'd make presentations, and people would ask questions, and then we would vote on which team met our needs the best. I don't think any of that happened in this case. So we have a team of consultants, but I'm not really clear how they were selected.
So there was no competitive process.
Not that I'm aware of.
To choose a consultant. Mm-hmm. I think you would be aware, right? We all would be aware. Certainly they're hiring a new city manager, and we're aware that of how, you know, they had picked their consultant team. No neighborhood seat at the table is something else, so that the residents nearby.
Yeah, the Uplands people. They just had to fight tooth and nail to get heard, and they're doing a pretty good job. They're directly affected. One of the kind of funny stories is they installed this sports field, and north of the sports field, they said they were going to set up a performance stage.
Oh, boy.
And the neighbors who live right across from there, their reaction was, well, is this going to be for mime shows? Because because if there's any sound associated with this, yeah, we're going to be in trouble. Well, so if you look at the new plan, they've moved the stage roughly 50 feet further south, which is interesting, but it doesn't actually change the dynamic. No, the sound's still going to be hitting all these homes. Mm-hmm. So, why are we putting a performance stage on the bayfront immediately adjacent to all these residences?
Yeah, so I'm looking at a map where the beach volleyball was placed. You know, give me your thoughts on sports facilities take up space.
Yes. Okay? Well, let's be clear. Outdoor sports facilities take up space. We could have said New College is going to excel at indoor sports. We're going to have fencing, and we're going to have powerlifting, and we're going to have, mm-hmm, you know, are there any number of things you can do indoors? Mm-hmm. But we chose, or the president or the trustees chose, to engage in sports that take up a lot of space. We could have done more with our water-based activities and used the bay. But instead, we've got lacrosse and baseball and soccer and we're going to have pickleball, apparently. And
pickleball? For college kids?
Well, I don't know if it's competitive pickleball. We're going to have pickleball courts.
Okay. Yeah. Well, still. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I mean, the bay is a no-brainer.
Well, it's a yes and no. So if you think about the north part of Sarasota Bay and Sarasota County, you have the Sapphire Shores, and you have those two prongs that go out into the bay, and the north end of the northern prong creates sort of a corner where sand has been building up for years. And so they're proposing this three-story boathouse that would be on the bay and presumably would launch boats from there. But because so much sand has built up, it's incredibly shallow out there. I've calculated you would need a dock 200 feet long in order to get rowing shells or other boats out to the mm-hmm, water, where you could actually float a boat at low tide.
Yeah.
So the question is, before you start postulating that you're going to have this gigantic boathouse, let's talk about what kind of boats they are, how they're going to be launched, how they're going to be retrieved.
Well, I mean, what you're showing me is the shoreline is a massive swath of sand at,
yes,
low tide.
Right.
So so what you're saying, that the dock you'd have to build,
right,
200 feet long.
Yeah.
So just as basic steps of the process have not been done, it seems like some basic understanding of the topography of the land,
right,
is not there.
Right. And this is, so this really sad thing is New College had its own regulations that required involvement of the campus community, and one of the early moves of the administration was to have the trustees eliminate those regulations. So there's no requirement. The entire campus master plan could be adopted without a single input from faculty, staff, or students. There's no requirement that it happen. If they show up at a hearing, great, but that's on them. There's no mechanism to ensure that the people that live and work there will have their voices heard in the process.
And there's a lot of practicality to have the people who use the facility, the buildings, every single day.
Yeah, and they would have said, look, we can't have a floating dock 200 feet long. And someone would have said, well, why not? They have a floating dock here and they have a floating dock there. And that's because there's 8 miles of fetch to the northwest. And so when you have a storm coming from Anna Maria, you can have some really big waves in that area. And it took out we had a research vessel there that was damaged. They did build a dock that went out that deep, but it's not a dock that allows you to launch rowing shells.
Mm-hmm. I want to change tack here a little bit. What role does the city of Sarasota play in this? I mean, at least the stormwater, you know, I would think that they can't just go ahead and change the master plan if they have agreements or responsibilities,
right,
with the city, right?
Right, and that's
or the county.
Well, both counties, and so that's the thing. And so the city of Sarasota and the two counties have gotten to weigh in. Now the city is concerned that those houses on 58th Street, or those lots, need to be rezoned. They're zoned residential, and if the county college wants to use them for other purposes, they have to go through a rezoning procedure. And that's from the city of Sarasota's perspective. The really interesting issue is with Manatee County. So, as you know, the prior Manatee County Commission voted to give 9 acres of land contiguous with the Crosley Estate that's owned by Manatee County. The 9 acres north of that, they gave that to New College. Now, this is a heavily wooded site. If you look at an aerial photograph, there's not a square foot of...
And it's next to USF, isn't it?
Right. It's next to USF. And for some reason...
They gave it to New College.
For some reason, they gave it to New College.
So let's clarify. This is the pre-2024 election.
Right.
Manatee County Commission.
Right.
This is the commission that got bounced by the voters.
Yes.
And they would ideologically... have been on board with, I think, my opinion, giveaways and far-right type.
Right. So can you imagine if Sarasota County said, we're giving 9 acres to an enterprise that is in Manatee County for free? I mean, this is like a $2.5 million parcel. So
yeah.
That seems like some sort of fiduciary issue. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, the rules of the Board of Governors, the regulations, say that the use that the college puts to it has to be consistent with the future land use plan of the comprehensive plan of Manatee County. And so the future land use plan for this 9 acres shows that it would be open space and recreation. So in essence, the Manatee County Commission promised the citizens of Manatee County and anywhere else for that matter that this 9 acres would be used for recreation and open space.
And we have to be careful about our waterfront recreation uses because we, you know, it's surprising, actually, relatively speaking, how much of that is privatized and not accessible.
Right.
Okay.
So here we have this property that could make a fantastic park-like setting for mm-hmm. students of USF, students of New College.
And the public.
And the public, and accrue to the function of the Seagate. You know, the Crosley Estate is used as a wedding venue and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, New College gets a hold of it and says, we're going to put a building, we're calling it a Freedom Institute, and it's going to be 1/4 larger than the new White House ballroom. It's going to be 125,000 square feet. And then
okay. I'm glad you mentioned the Freedom Institute.
Yes.
Because even like the Observer, which is... you know, Matt Walsh and the paper tends to have a libertarian bent, right?
Yes.
And I've agreed with them on many things. And they came out, I think, over a year ago and said this whole plan doesn't make sense for taxpayers.
Yeah.
And they have a schematic of that Freedom Institute, which just looks to me like kind of a think tank vanity project for the RUFO type, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like but 125,000 square feet,
that's a lot
of vanity.
That's huge.
So they were showing, all the sketches showed this building being on the water.
Yes.
Well, Manatee County, to their credit, identified the area, like the third of the site that's closest to the water, and said, no, this is going to be green space. Well, the college wasn't aware of that. So here's this relatively recent document transferring land from Manatee County to the college. The college is supposed to be working on its master plan. They ignore or are unaware of the constraints placed in this donation and proceed to show this building. Well, then there's this other contemplative center that looks like the sketches look like sort of a glassy chapel. Foundation, the DSF Charitable Foundation, gave $2.5 million to help build this thing. But I don't think the DSF Foundation understands that this is an entirely wooded site that Manatee County has said is supposed to be used for open space and recreation. So would a chapel be, or a contemplative center be inappropriate? No. But they're showing a parking. I think the rule of thumb you use is about 144 parking spaces per acre. And so I've calculated that they're looking at about a parking lot for like 325 cars on this property. And Manatee County, when they raised issues, they said, well, how are people going to get there? Because that driveway, if you've been on it, that leads to the Crosley Estate, mm-hmm. was built as a driveway. It is 16 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
The state of Florida allows vehicles to be 8 feet wide.
So, pretty tight.
Yeah, pretty tight. So having, right now, as you approach the Seagate, there's a sign that says closed for private function or something like that. And that signs up all the time. Right. So how is New College proposing to access that? This is like a pretty basic question, you would think. And one of the issues that really irked the Uplands neighborhood was a proposal to create a vehicular connection from New College to Uplands Boulevard. And that's been dialed back somewhat, and they'd said, well, it would only be used for emergency purposes. Well, you know, who has the key to the lock, and is an emergency that you've got to get your lawnmower up there? Like, who's going to determine the emergency status of these things?
With all of this,
yes,
right? With all of this, there's so much logistical consideration. You know, there's ingress, there's egress, there's green space, there's agreements with the city, agreements, you know, Manatee County. And to me, this is a mirror. I'll go back to Schools of Hope with Richard Corcoran. We just had a little blurb about, you know, Sarasota County saying, no, we're not going to do that. But the Schools of Hope program, which basically is a way to privatize public schools, failed miserably, the pilot program, Richard Corcoran's baby in Jefferson County, third grade reading proficiency plummeted from 42% to 19%, okay? So, and yeah, okay, there was COVID, but come on.
Yeah.
You know, this was supposed to be the messianic changing of schools that weren't performing, and it wasn't at all. And so the state of Florida and Governor DeSantis puts the same person in charge of a massively complicated endeavor, running a college which had a great record of success, attracted honor students of immensely creative, you know, given the freedom to do their own course of study. And all that's been trashed. I mean, these bright kids, would you go to New College under this administration? Well, the answer, they're voting with their feet, you know. The test scores are plummeting. The ranking has plummeted. Now they want to mess with the physical structure. And they're not doing the basic planning. And it's just kind of It's a lesson, like, in what happens when you just go with, because I think Richard Corcoran can sound really good. Like, that's his talent. He can give a good speech. So what? Mm-hmm. It's not enough. We need more than that. And an excellent college with graduates is a feeder for the economy. It's a feeder for industry. Yeah. Companies come where they know they're going to have a pool of applicants that are prepared to contribute and to perform and excel. New College is one of those feeders in Sarasota County. I know so many people who've made great contributions in the community that went there.
Yeah.
And we're losing it. I mean, we've lost, you know, a lot of people would say we've lost it. So you got to show up if you're concerned about this. I mean, that's one opportunity.
Right.
But, you know, Jono, I think we're in a moment in this city, in the county, in the country, in the state, where we have to reinvent how we do things. Because obviously these processes don't work when you've got folks that get in charge and they can just blow through all the norms.
Right. So we're going to have a hearing over a 209-page document that people had less than 10 days to review and will probably be given between 1 and 2 minutes to provide testimony. That is not great process.
No. It doesn't honor the magnitude of the change. There's some architecture on the new college campus that was created, you know, buildings that were designed by I.M. Pei.
That's right.
And tell us about I.M. Pei and why that matters.
Well, Pei was just one of the most important architects of the 20th century. He did that pyramid at the Louvre. There are just a lot of buildings that
The glass pyramid in the courtyard of the Louvre.
Yeah, the Kennedy, Library, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, it's a really long list of important buildings. And so he didn't do any work in Florida other than New College. So at New College, we have three dormitories, and they are going to remain, but I think their fate's a little unclear.
Designed by him.
Yes. And then there's what's called Hamilton Center, and then there's what's called Hamilton Classrooms. Well, these buildings, Hamilton Center and Hamilton Classrooms, that therefore are the only non-residential buildings that this famous architect ever did in Florida.
In Florida.
And they're old enough to qualify for the National Register. And the college is proposing to remove both of them. And I thought, okay, well, if you're removing them for something that has to go there, you know, we could talk about it. But then when we looked at the what was really going on, these unique buildings by this important architect are being replaced by sidewalk and parking spaces. It's not like some linear accelerator, you know, some unique piece of equipment or something has to go there. They're taking it out and putting in stuff that could go anywhere.
Yeah, you know, so it's emblematic of the problem that you have an administration that claims to care about education. You've got a building that actually is like a living source of education for people who want to study design. Uh-huh. It's got a historic heritage that we should be preserving. And the last kind of institution you would think that would take a wrecking ball to that, unless they're actually controlled by developers, right? Yeah. Maybe that's the reason, which is what people are have been saying to me all the time, like, this is a development deal, it's not about education. Well, this plan supports that view, that this is...
Yeah, I mean, this is land that's owned by the airport. So I guess ultimately, even if we kept the building for New College... and this is one of the really big stumbling blocks of this whole plan, is that the college is not conceding, admitting, or revealing that the entire plan is dependent on acquiring this land from the airport. And if they don't get this land from the airport, they're not going to be able to do things. Well, so, for instance,
the FAA is not on board.
Not yet. So this ball field, a significant portion of left field is on property owned by the airport, and it's been blocked by the FAA. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, cynical or astute people argue that things are happening and somebody's going to talk to somebody in Washington and the FAA is going to change their mind. But they have the $1 million or whatever from Baruff to build this ball field, mm-hmm. and they can't move forward because the FAA is blocking it. So if they can't acquire the East or Pay campus in short order, does it really make sense to be investing a lot of money in new structures when your 199-year lease is running out?
Yeah, you know, there's a local scientist and pilot that I've had on my show, and his name escapes me right now.
Yeah, but Schussler, John Schussler.
No, not him.
Oh, the pilot.
Yeah, okay. And he flies and designed a solar airplane.
Okay.
Now. And he's looking for space, you know, to house his... I'm sure he's found something by now, but my point is, if this land were to revert back to... You know, it is the airport's land.
Right.
I don't think, even with a friendly administration in D.C. that can tell the FAA to say yes to this, I would hope that they would think that, you know, honestly, Jono, we do need to preserve airport land for the future of Sarasota. And I think it does make sense for New College to find that piece of the campus that is east of 41 is not an ideal situation for living near an airport for students.
Well,
my God.
Yes.
So let me just finish.
Yeah.
If, you know, you've got USF, you've got New College, you've got a local genius who's building a solar plane, and if you have this historic building, you know, ultimately, wouldn't a good plan be to have some kind of aeronautic teaching near the airport and foster solar airplane technology and have it be this cool marriage of, you know, the architecture and the use and all that? For goodness sakes, get the kids away from the airport noise and fumes, the students. There's no thinking like that at all.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is it's one thing to walk from your dorm room to a classroom, but to have athletes doing full respiratory activity immediately adjacent to an airport is not helpful.
No.
And that's maybe part of the reason that, you know, that New College did have a number of indoor athletic activities previously rather than outdoor.
Yeah, breathing in airport exhaust is not ideal for your health. So there really is no... The plan is to demolish the IMPEI building. That's what they...
The two non-residential buildings are slated for demolition, yes.
Okay. And what proportion, and I'm just asking you off the top of your head, I know you probably don't have this exact number.
Right.
But what proportion of the land now is being used for the athletic? I mean, it's a good chunk, isn't it?
Well, it's not that much right now. We have that soccer field on the bay, and we have the beach volleyball facility. So those are new. We have a pool that I don't know that we have competitive swimming. We do have a ball field at the moment, which I think is a softball field. Yes, so that's sort of the extent of it. But, yeah, they're planning to add a lot.
Yeah, and this hearing time is interesting.
Yes.
Isn't it?
So it's the fourth day of Hanukkah and
8 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, students are on break. It's not a time of year where people are focused on local government and schools.
And the oddest coincidence is that this is the day that all the faculty have to submit their written narrative evaluations of students. So if faculty are not completely done, because they don't just assign grades, they have to sit down. I used to write a couple of paragraphs on each student. And so if you haven't gotten all that done, you really shouldn't be showing up at this hearing. It's crunch time for the faculty. So students are gone. It's going to be a lot of neighbors and some alums and concerned people. Now, as you know, the nature of WSLR, we can't have a call to action, so we can't tell people to be there. But
no, but we can say if you're interested in this issue, the meeting is on this date.
Right.
Now, I'm curious for people who are interested. And the thing is, you get 1 to 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So most local public hearings on land use issues, you get 5 minutes.
That's right.
And it's very, I mean, 1 to 2 minutes, you can say something, but this
you can introduce yourself. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and you know, it's really ironic is if you look at the website for the New College Board of Trustees, it says you'll get 3 minutes, but we seldom, if ever, get 3 minutes from this Board of Trustees. They just really don't want to hear from people. And then when they do hear from them, they ignore them. I mean, I don't recall ever giving testimony to this Board of Trustees. And then when I sit down and they get into the issue, have someone say, hey, there was that one guy who raised this issue. Is that legit? Like, was what he said right? That never happens.
No, there's no substantive discussion.
Right.
So it seems to me, so I'm curious about your take, of course, if you care about something, my feeling is it is always important to show up, you know? As Woody Allen said, 90% of life is showing up.
Yeah.
You have to show up for what you care about, whatever that is. When it comes to this master plan or how things are actually going to unfold, the state legislature allocates funds. And the state legislature, in the Board of Governors meeting recently, Benjamin Brown and I spoke about this last week, is that the costs for New College have escalated quite a bit, and that it was not met with enthusiasm, right? That the spending for new college.
Right.
So you've got increased spending, you've got rankings plummeting, you've got student performance is not what it used to be. The metrics are not what they used to be. They're having a hard time with matriculation, with students enrolling for obvious reasons. I think to be engaged in this, given that you've got a board of trustees that's demonstrating they're not interested so much in public input, is to get on the phone with your state representative or your state senator. And that's another place that these folks have a responsibility too.
Well, let's keep in mind, five of these trustees don't live in the state of Florida.
And who are they? Well, Bauerlein.
Yes, and Rufo.
And Rufo.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's three others too.
Yeah, but the point is, I think if you set these gentlemen down and put a sheet, an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper in front of them and say, draw a map of campus from memory, I don't think they'd do a very credible job.
No.
So I don't think they know the territory. They've only been here for a few years at most. They're being asked to make decisions about the future of the college. Now, I heard that the governor's new budget includes wanting to give USF, Sarasota Manatee, to new college. There's a provision.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
They want to give the USF
right.
campus
right.
to new college.
Okay. That's what I heard this morning.
Whoa.
So there's a Board of Governors regulation 21.204D that requires the college in its master planning to inventory and assess properties within the planning study area which may serve to meet existing or future needs, and it should include opportunities for expansion. So the plan that's going to the trustees on Wednesday does not include USF, and it does not include FSU Ringling. So don't tell the Board of Governors in December that you have no plans for additional land. We are required to reveal that here. And then in January, tell the legislature, oh, yeah, by the way, we want USF and we want FSU.
They tried that before.
Oh, well, I understand.
Yeah. And so what you're saying is they have an obligation right now to show their cards.
Right. What are the future needs, properties that might meet future needs of the college?
So they tried to get Ringling. FSU.
Yes.
That didn't work.
Right.
But now they're going to try USF. They're going
to try
to grab the
yes.
USF campus.
Yes.
Okay.
And they should be upfront about it. And that should be in the plan. It
mm-hmm.
should say, well, we don't have enough land. We're going to have all these thousands of students, and we don't have enough land, and we don't have enough room. We need to put in another ball field in Mabel's Rose Garden or whatever. And so we need this additional land, but they're not saying that. So that's
a problem.
John,
isn't it pretty basic that they actually have to demonstrate that they have the students, which they don't?
Well, see, here's what I would say about that. If you're willing to pay students to attend a college, you can have as many as you want. So we're spending a lot of money, but I think we're spending a lot of money on inducing students to come to New College.
You mean scholarships?
Well, yeah, scholarships or computers or opportunity. I mean, I don't know what the full range of sweetening the pot consists of, preference on dorms, who knows? But, if you're willing to underwrite, it's a pretty good deal to start with.
Let me tell you, like, that may be, but people really care, and parents really care about the quality of school that their child goes to. I understand there may be people on board, but shouldn't they have to demonstrate success like that before they ask for more land? You see, I always thought it made sense for New College to be a subsidiary, which at one time it was,
yes.
under USF,
yes.
because there was a protection for what happened because New College was like out on their own. They got starved over the years for money, and then they got, you know, taken over. Whereas if they were a subsidiary of USF, maybe that would be less likely. But
yeah.
now what you're telling me they're thinking about is the opposite.
Capturing.
And they
right.
have no, they've demonstrated no record of success to warrant being trusted with those facilities.
And what I've
with
been,
USF.
What I've been told is it's really just to get the USF facilities, that the programs yeah. they have would have to go elsewhere.
So USF would be kicked out of...
Yes. That's my understanding.
And they actually have expertise in running a university. I mean, right. those folks yeah. know what they're doing.
Yeah. So that's a new wrinkle that we've just sort of figured out, that they're really required to say what land they want to acquire in the next 10 years and to not reveal that and then go after these two adjoining mega parcels is pretty strange.
And you're getting word that that's the plan for the next legislative session.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's in DeSantis' new budget is to shift the USF Sarasota Manatee property to New College.
You know, so here's the thing. I don't care where you are on the political spectrum. The airport is an important facility for Sarasota Manatee County. Just is. And its future ability to grow and, you know, maybe it won't need to, but... As John Schuessler has been on my show and talked about, airports don't give away land. That's just not something they do because you can't make new land.
Yeah.
So you've got, and especially if you're like pro, like good growth business and all that, Republican, Democrat, I don't think it matters. Giving airport land away to New College doesn't make sense. And then... If you care about quality education, which if you care about business and, you know, you want quality students graduating, then you don't want to see USF bounced. I mean, they know what they're doing. So I just don't see how anybody, like, you kind of meet your Waterloo it with there's the flowery rhetoric that seduces people and sounds good, but shouldn't you be producing results? And if you're not, why would you be rewarded with more buildings? And why would they boot out USF Sarasota Manatee that actually does perform? That makes no sense to me.
I hear you.
Yeah. Okay. That's my opinion.
Do we have time for one last?
Absolutely.
Okay. So one thing Richard Corcoran is really good at, and I have to give him credit, is he travels around and he sees things he likes and he tries to figure out how to make them happen at New College.
Okay.
And I think it's Richard. It could be somebody else. But somebody got the bright idea to take Thomas Jefferson's quad at the University of Virginia and superimpose it on New
That's
College.
That's my alma mater.
Okay. Well, yeah. So you can tell.
I love that. It's a UNESCO World Heritage
you
Site.
You can tell me, mm-hmm. when you go in the quad at UVA, there are no roads in there, right? It's just
nope.
a big lawn.
No. Nope.
And then there are student... residences facing the quad.
Yeah.
And they have private gardens away from the quad. They're not facing the quad.
They're behind.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're behind.
So there's faculty housing.
Right.
And then student, like, little dorm rooms.
Right.
And behind the faculty housing, yes, there's...
Little gardens.
There's gardens.
Right. So they've completely flipped this. They've taken Jefferson's genius and inverted it so that now the private spaces of the students, where, you know, students drag out couches and picnic tables and parasols, and the students just have stuff that they like mm-hmm. to sit out, that's all going to be on display along Dort Drive. And then instead of having a lawn, which is what exists at UVA, mm-hmm. you're going to have this road. Well, it's now a pedestrian walkway, but we call it Dort Promenade. But there's going to be this paved linear thoroughfare going through your quad. So it's a complete perversion of what yeah. Jefferson was trying to do.
Yeah.
And it's been plopped down. And some of the effects of this is we have a campus restoration area where we're trying to replicate what the original native habitat was. It's going to take out 3/4 of that.
Okay.
It's going to impinge on a memorial grove that was planted for a really special student. So it's an interesting idea. I mean, who wouldn't like Jefferson's quad?
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, but sticking it, just dropping it on top of New College and then switching everything around?
Well, you don't have, if you're going to do that, you don't have cars running through the middle of it.
Well, this won't have cars, but it'll have pedestrians and bicycles and skateboard. Well,
probably. It's not, yeah, so it's not a lawn.
It's not really true to
the whole vision.
So I thought you had a UVA connection. That's why I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, definitely. Nope, this is a bastardization of that.
Yeah.
It sounds good, but it really isn't what it appears to be.
And so we also talk about the Rice Building. Apparently there's a building at Rice University that the president is enamored with. So so he's a collector. He sees things that appeal to him, and, you know, God bless him.
The problem with that I have, and I'm sure, like, everyone's a nice guy. I'm sure if I had lunch with Richard Corcoran, I'd go, wow, what a nice guy.
Yeah,
that's not
nice
the
guy.
Point, you know? The point is, I think the demonstrated track record is scattered, disorganized, unqualified.
Yes.
You know, qualified people have been leaving in droves. It's vindictive. It's, you know, okay, you don't like DEI, but for goodness sake, you know, these humans have value.
Yeah.
Where is your actual, you know, honoring of humanity? You're just using a wrecking ball to destroy the beauty and creativity and value of the institution, and you're not replacing it with anything, what, beach volleyball? I mean, So I just look at Richard Corcoran as, like, he doesn't have the chops to do this. And I'm wondering, like, when is the Florida State Legislature going to look and go, yeah, this isn't working?
Well,
what does it take?
Yeah.
Maybe
this year. We don't know.
Yeah. So, and it's sad because you think of all of the potential students who had New College proceeded in the manner where it was succeeding. You know, if it hadn't been tampered with. I'm not saying there didn't need to be any change there. I'm not saying they didn't have any point at all, you know.
Right.
But they didn't have to destroy it.
Right.
So,
and it wasn't a Marxist commune, and we weren't teaching voodoo studies or whatever. So
yeah, so just like that Freedom Institute is a vanity project, It's very sad to see people wreaking this kind of havoc for very unsubstantial plans. So if people want to weigh in, and if you care about New College, if you care about the waterfront property and under public, you know, under the public education system, that it be maintained for public use. And
yeah. One of the saddest things in the revised plan is that there was a path or a trail that was going to lead from Caples up to New College.
From where?
From Caples, from the New College Caples property across the Ringling property to New College, which would make perfect sense. Yeah, so the public
north-south.
You know, what I've said is going to Catazan and not being aware of Charles Ringling and Caples. Both Charles Ringling.
I don't even know what Caples is.
Where it is?
Yes, no,
Caples are the people that settled first and told the Ringlings they should buy this land on the water.
Okay.
And it's the Caples-Ringling National Register Historic District. So to go to Catazan and tour it and not be told that there's another part of the National Historic District to the right and another part of the National Historic District to the left would be like going to tour the Santa Maria and being told, not mentioning that the Nina and Pinta were on either side of it.
Yeah, so it's disjointed.
So it should be a system that the public has access to everything. And I don't know if it was a vindictive move by by FSU, but that dream that's been around for decades now of connecting all these properties up, that's been officially expunged from the proposal, which is really sad because the public should be able to walk from Caples up really all the way to Crosley, in my opinion.
All right. Well, if you care about that issue and anything to do with the New College Master Plan, the meeting of the Board of Trustees is at 2 p.m. on December 17th, and it's always good to show up for things you care about. We will continue to follow it here. And I thank you, Jono, for your work on this. I appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. You know, after all these years, I felt it was worth recording my insights.
Yes, definitely. Everyone, you're listening to The Detail on WSLR, 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton, Florida. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to stay tuned for more public affairs programming here on WSLR. Make it a great day.